Four European countries today banned short selling of banks and financial stocks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Our special coverage on the economic turmoil continues now with the global perspective on business and economics. France, Italy, Spain, and Belgium all have prohibited traders from the practice of short selling, which allows people to make money by betting on falling stocks. The BBC's business reporter Russell Padmore is with us from London now with the latest. Hi, Russell.
Morning to you, Steve.
How are short sellers making money with all of this volatility?
Well, volatility is manna from heaven to those who love to bet on a falling market. Shorting of shares is effectively making a bet that the market's going to go lower and you benefit from that.
Besides short sellers, Russell, who's making money on the market volatility right now?
I've been talking to a lot of traders and stockbrokers here in London today, and I've put that question to them, actually, kind of trying to reinforce what I was thinking. We're in an open market today. The straight answer to that, Steve, is nearly everybody, whether it's hedge fund traders or ordinary stockbrokers, investment banks themselves, anywhere in the world, of course, because you can be in, let's say, Singapore, Sydney, Australia, New York. You can be electronically trading here in London, making money on this falling market. So it's literally anybody. It includes, of course, the ordinary private investor, too.
This short selling ban is limited, I know, to a handful of European countries, but could it spread, do you think, to other countries and even to the United States?
Yes, many people have wondered if it could spread, although I can tell you today that the financial regulator here in London has said it will not follow suit. What's going on with France, Spain, Italy, Belgium, the ban on short selling of shares that's happening there will not be implemented in London. Do remember, of course, London, the biggest financial centre in Europe. So any plan that, let's say, the French have to try and protect their troubled banking sector, we've seen Société Générale, the big French bank, its shares down by about a third in 2 weeks. The markets are very much in a time of uncertainty. The regulators here in London have said they're not going to follow suit. And I think maybe the US financial regulators, too, have learned a lesson. It's a wait and see for the moment, I think.
The BBC's business reporter, Russell Padmore, in London. Russell, thank you.
Steve, thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher at the moment, anywhere from 1% to 3% now. Asian markets were mostly up. A Chinese bullet train manufacturer recalled more than four dozen of its trains today after a crash last month killed 40 people in China. Now, the recall adds to signs Beijing is scaling back its ambitious expansion plans for its high-speed rail network. Wall Street yesterday, markets gained 4% or more in heavy, heavy trading. The Dow slapped on 423 points to close at 11,143.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
The economic turmoil we're in, of course, partially stems from the Standard & Poor's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating, which was one of a few economic subjects that came up last night in the Republican debate in Iowa. The debate took place ahead of tomorrow's big straw poll in that state. Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann was among eight candidates who appeared on the Fox News political forum. And when asked about how the debt ceiling debate, which was a catalyst in S&P's decision to downgrade, should have played out, Bachmann said at least she followed her principles.
We should not have increased the debt ceiling. In the last 2 months, I was leading on the issue of not increasing the debt ceiling. That turned out to be the right answer.
Bachmann, of course, has made a name for herself in the Tea Party, and the Tea Party brands itself as fiscally conservative with a pledge of low taxes and lowering the nation's budget deficit. Well, Ryan Lizza is a reporter for The New Yorker magazine. In this week's issue, he's got a story about how Michelle Bachmann came into her economic ideals. And Ryan Lizza, welcome to Marketplace.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You got it. How has Michelle Bachmann come into her economic philosophy?
In both the religious side of her policy portfolio and the economic side, she has talked about this time in her life when her father abandoned the family, that thrust her family into poverty. On the economic side, she's also used that story as an example of the foundation of her anti-government, anti-spending, anti-welfare sentiment. In other words, if she got by, if she survived without the help of the government, then everyone else should as well.
While she didn't get any assistance, perhaps, when she was younger, she is getting assistance today, right, at the firm that she and her husband have and also in the farm subsidies, right?
Most of her and her husband's income has been from the government. She gets out of law school and she goes and works for, of all places, the IRS. Her husband, meanwhile, he's a psychologist and he starts a Christian counseling service. And, you know, like anyone else in the medical profession, he takes Medicare and Medicaid. And just to add to that, you know, her husband has received plentiful subsidies for a family farm in Wisconsin.
She was an evangelical even at a very young age. How do you think that affected her economic views?
Well, the thing that social conservatives and fiscal conservatives do have in common is a suspicion of the government. That's the thing that keeps this coalition together. So it doesn't matter that one group cares about abortion and the other cares about taxes. They both want the government out of their lives.
Do you see her economic views as evolving? Running for president, I mean, you've got to kind of dart to the center, right?
Her whole life has been defined by the social issues. She only got deeply interested in the economic issues in the last few years. And now, of course, as she's running for president, where the issue is spending, that is the issue that she's embraced. So there is a bit of a transformation here. I don't think that means that her views on social issues, I don't think any of that's gone away. But I think she's downplaying it now because she knows it can turn off some of the voters that she's trying to attract.
The article is called Leap of Faith. Ryan Lizza, reporter for The New Yorker, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our special coverage on the economic turmoil continues now at marketplace.org. Dig into the numbers, get the podcast, or just tell us what you think. Marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.